I want to read just a little bit, and then we're going to talk with you. You know, it's a great task when you start out to do something for God. Doing something for God is not like doing something in the world. The world loveth its own, according to the Holy Scriptures. And if you go to build a university, if you go to build a great something in the world, great hospital, the world will help you build it. Because, see, they're partakers of that. But when you go to do something for God, the world won't help you. The Bible teaches that you become the enemy to the world. You have to press your way into the kingdom of God. Brother Ted, they won't give you a helping hand. The time shall come when all of the world shall hate you, and ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. There's an endurance. And there's a great task when you start out to preach the gospel. You really have to have faith in God, because it's going to take faith for you to be able to make it. We've got some people that we've been associated with in our ministry in the past. When I first met them, they would give a little bit in the offering. Sometimes they would give $4 or $5, and they felt like they had to stretch out to do that. And they talked to me, and I told them about the wonderfulness of God and how that if a man shares with God, God would share with him. And it wasn't long before they decided to give $10. And after that, they decided to give $25. And after that, they decided to give $50. And then to their utter amazement, they began to realize that they had the money to give the $50. And so they went up to $100, and it wasn't long before they was given $1,000. And now some of them comes and gives a few thousand dollars at a time in the offering. You can't figure it out, can you? They can't figure it out either, but they believe God. They started to believe in God. Jesus said, give it, be given unto you. And so then God supports the gospel by faith. I'm thankful tonight to be here, and I want to read a little scripture to you. If you've got your Bibles, you can read with me. Now, we've been getting away from the tent at a goodly time every night. Haven't been holding you late. It's still being able to minister to you and tell you about the good things of Jesus. Hallelujah. Over in the book of St. Luke, the 6th chapter, and I want to say I appreciate my new Bible. Brother Bill and Brother Wayne and some of them got together and got me a new Bible. And I'm very thankful. They're always buying me something, and I really appreciate their kindness. All right, in the book of St. Luke, in the 6th chapter, I want to read just a little bit. I want you to listen real close now. The 27th verse, but I say unto you which hear, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you, bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. And unto him that smiteth thee on one cheek, offer also the other. And him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. Give to every man that asketh of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask him not again. And as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. For if ye love them which love you, what thanks have ye? For sinners also love those that love them. And if ye do good to them which do good to you, what thanks have ye? For sinners also do even the same. And if ye lend to them of whom ye hope to receive, what thanks have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love ye your enemies, and do good, and lend hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the highest. For he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Be therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together, and running over shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. If you'll notice, The Holy Scripture carefully outlines God's desire. Very carefully. He tells us in the book of St. Matthew's chapter 16, in the 25th verse, "For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in his glory, in the glory of his Father, with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works." You know, a lot of times we excuse ourselves from doing the things that we're supposed to do. That is, we do the things that are wrong through life. And then when we're confronted about the wrong that we do, we find ourselves saying, "The reason that I did it, I just didn't know any better. I didn't know that God was displeased with that." But isn't it wonderful to understand very clearly the will and desire of God? Isn't it wonderful just to know His will and to understand His desire? Here in the Scripture, I read to you, very carefully outlined him. Jesus said, "If you do not judge another, I will not judge you. If you do not condemn another, I will not condemn you. If you will forgive another, I will forgive you." Are you listening? If I do not condemn, God will not condemn me. If I forgive others of their trespasses against me, God will also forgive me my trespasses. But did you know the Bible teaches that if we forgive not men their trespasses against us, that our Heavenly Father will not forgive our trespasses against Him? Do you realize tonight that if we go around and carry things in our heart, that if somebody has so sinned against us, or as we would say, they have mistreated us, and we're carrying that thing in our heart, if we've got a grudge in our heart, if we're seeking revenge, do you realize that you are completely, totally cut off from God, and that you have no part in eternal life? Are you aware tonight that it's that serious? The Bible teaches to be angry and sin not. It tells us that we should not let the sun go down on our wrath. How many times have you been angry with the wife? How many times have you been angry with the children? How many times have you been angry with the husband? How many times have you been angry with the neighbor or with your employer? Or with somebody, how many times have you been angry? And instead of getting it out of your heart, instead of putting it away from you, instead of clearing your heart of the malice, you carried it right on through the night. What if you'd have died and went out to meet God? You would forever have been cut off. God tells us very carefully not to let the sun go down on our wrath. Not to be angry with anybody. I know that we get angry. The Bible said, "Be angry and sin not." The Jews tempted Jesus to anger. But the Bible tells us that anger resteth in the bosom of fools. When a man gets angry, sometimes he's going to get angry. Sometimes the devil's going to provoke him. And if he really isn't walking close with God, he's going to get angry. And even if you are a devout person in God, there's going to be times when you're going to be disturbed and be angry. Because Jesus was perfect. The Messiah was perfect. But the Bible said he was angry because of the hardness of their heart. And there's going to be times when that will happen to you. But see, the Bible teaches that you're not to carry anger in your bosom. You're not to let it continue. But what you are to do is to get away from that anger. You're to cast that anger aside. You're to pray for your enemies.
Do good to them that despitefully use you. Be perfect even as thy Father in heaven is perfect. And the Bible teaches that you'll lack no good thing. God will raise you up and let you ride upon the high places of the earth. The Bible said God will feed you with the heritage of Jacob. Every heart's desire, God will grant it to you. Because you walk in his presence and you do the things that's pleasing unto God. But you know, if we are determined to go our own way, if we are determined to do our own thing, if we are determined to be the way that we want to be, and we're determined to think our own thoughts, then God will cut us off and God will put us aside. And then great sorrow and great heartaches and great poverty and great evil circumstance will befall us in our lifetime just because we would not accept God's way about a thing. That's what the minister's for, is to tell you God's way, to tell you God's design, to offer to you a better way of life. This tent that's sitting here tonight. See, I didn't just come to Charlotte just to preach to people. I could preach to people anywhere in the world. But I came here because God sent me here. I came here for one purpose. And that purpose is to be able to share with you a better way of living. To explain to you a more perfect route of life. If I do not understand the more perfect way of life, I do not have any business being here talking to you. If I do not understand something better, I do not need to call myself a minister. If I have not spent some time with God somewhere and come into something that's far better than what's out there, I need to lay the thing down and forget about it. Is that right? Church is not just some place to come together to shout, jump, and holler. Even though I think we need a little more shouting, jumping, and hollering, we need to be a little more spiritual, and we need to rejoice in the things of God and praise God a little more. But that's not the purpose of church. The purpose of church is for us to grow in the grace of God and in the knowledge of God, that we may understand the more perfect way of life, a more profound way of life, a greater measure of the Spirit of God, that we can have the blessings of God, we can have the healing of God, we can have the deliverance of God, and God will come down in a great and a mighty way and supply all of our needs, physical needs, spiritual needs, financial needs. Everybody has needs. There may be a great millionaire tonight here in Charlotte. He may not have any financial needs. But brothers and sisters, you may not know the pressure that's on his mind. You may not know the heartaches that's in his heart. You may not understand the things that he's trying to cope with. You may not see down deep what he's got to contend with. And you may not understand it. It may be something that you can't understand. But it could be some great, terrible circumstance that nobody can help him with but God. And so then, the wonderful thing in serving God is that God will meet our needs. God will meet our needs. I have found as a rule that people that do nothing in coming to church but jump and holler, they always are in vile circumstance, always having problems, because they never listen to the gospel. They never grow in the knowledge of God. To them, they have one desire, and that desire is to feel the Spirit of God, get relief, get the burdens off of them, get the crushing impacts of Satan off of them, and then go home and lay down and rest. But brother and sister, there's coming a day when you won't shake it off. There's coming a day when you won't be able to do that. That's exactly what happened in the days of Moses. In the days of Moses, Miriam got a timber, and they had a shouting good time. But I want you to know that after the shout was over and the serpents began to bite them and they didn't know the way of God, they began to die in the wilderness. That's why people are dying with cancer, dying with TB, dying with heart condition, dying with all of these things. Simply because they don't know the way of God. And the ministers are more interested in taking an offering and building up a great thing to make them feel good so they can get the offering than they are in expounding the Word of God. But look at the difference in Jesus' ministry. The ministry of Jesus Christ was so different from the average ministry of today. A lot of times you would go down to the seashore. There would be a little boat. Jesus would get over in the boat. He would shove out from the seashore to keep the multitudes from crushing him. And there he would sit just quietly, calmly, and tell them about the Word of God. they would receive the engrafted word of God and become great and mighty. Jesus ministered to the sick. He healed the lame. He opened the blind eyes. He made the deaf to hear. Made the dumb to talk. But he quietly, calmly told them about the glory of God. And they became more engrossed in it as Jesus moved along the shores of Galilee, up and down through Palestine. I don't know whether you've ever been to the Holy Land or not, but I have. And as you walk along the seashore, it's so lovely. Down by the Sea of Galilee. I've been on the boat going over the Sea of Galilee, preaching the gospel to them that heard my voice. And it's such a thrill just to get to talk about God over in a place where Jesus was. Hallelujah. To know that Christ walked upon that water. And there you are present, looking at it, beholding it. I remember how we went by the Valley of Hinnom, over where the Bible speaks of Tophet and the son of Hinnom. The Valley of Hinnom, where they burned their children to the fire. Heathenistic, paganistic, did not know about the word of God. Just getting into a ritualistic, getting into some jumble up dance, getting into something they didn't know anything about. And offering their children up to the fire. And God reproved them of it. And God said, it never came into my heart for you to do your children that way. It never was my desire. And said, because you did this ugly, awful thing, someday this valley shall be called the Valley of Blood. And I stood there and saw where they burned their children. In ignorance, they burned their children, thinking that they were pleasing God because somebody had led them into that direction. Somebody had led them into that thing. Folks, we need to know the truth. Did you know that? The Bible said, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. We are never going to be free from the things of the world till we learn the truths of God. We are never going to be able to establish our lives in a sure foundation of the Word of God till the truth comes to us. Look at Adam and Eve. The one thing that caused Adam and Eve trouble was they failed to get the truth. God gave them the truth. He told them the truth. But they did not take the engrafted word of God and apply it to their souls. And there was another voice. You know, that's the trouble in the world today. There's always another voice. If there wasn't another voice, we'd be all right. But the Bible said, when I would do good, evil is speaking to me. Paul said, there's something that harasses me. There's a continual warfare between the body and the spirit. The Bible said God looked down the days of Noah, and even after he had destroyed everybody but Noah and the family, he saw that even Noah's thoughts was evil. He saw that even the family's thoughts was evil. There is a continual evil. There is a continual warfare. There is a continual pressure. Men press their way into the kingdom of God. When I would do good, evil is constantly pressing me, Paul said. That means that we've got to have an inner strength. I've got to overcome this body. You've got to overcome this body. Folks, you're given to the body. You're given to the flesh. And the Bible said the man that seeks to save his life in the flesh is going to lose that body. He's going to lose that flesh. Lose the things of this world that body's craving. Try to save your life. Build homes. Plant vineyards. Lay up money in the bank. Do everything. Neglect the gospel. Neglect the hungry. Neglect the poor. Neglect the needy just to save your life. Take your money and appropriate funds to educate your children. While other little children don't even have a bite to eat, they're starving to death in different parts of the world. Do that. Save your life. Live it up. Go out to the beaches. Go out to the mountains. Go out to the different places of the world. But I can assure you of one thing. That dreadful hour is coming. You try to save your life and you're going to lose your life. That life that you love so much. Wanting to live it up with rock and roll. Want to live it up with the things of the world. Want to live it up with the lust of the flesh. That same life that you desire, God's going to snuff it out one day. God's going to take it away from you one day. You seek to save your life, and God's going to take it away from you. But brother, the Bible said, he that loseth his life for my sake, he shall gain his life. Hallelujah. If I lay down my life for Christ's sake, I'm going to gain my life in Christ. God's going to give it back to me. Hallelujah. So then it's up to me tonight. I can save my life or I can lose my life. If I lose my life for Christ's sake, I'm going to lay up treasures in heaven. After a while, I'm going to step over the boundaries of the world. And I'm going to be in the presence of the great light. And I'm going to be in the land of riches and the land of glory. I'm going to be in that great land that God built. Hallelujah. Abraham made the statement, said, I'm a pilgrim, I'm a stranger. I don't have a home in this world. I'm just seeking a city whose builder and maker is God. Is that right? How do you know we're strangers down here? When they imposed taxes upon Jesus and his disciples, Jesus asked one of them a question, said, let me ask you a question. Said, are they taxing their own people? Or said, are they taxing strangers? They said, Lord, we're strangers. Strangers and pilgrims in this world. Did you know that someday yonder in that world that we're going to stand before God and all the world's going to stand before God? And did you know that God's going to indict the world for taxing strangers? That we are sons and daughters of God and we're not of this world, and that they've imposed upon us we're another nation. Hallelujah. Don't you know that the United States wouldn't impose powers of authority upon Russia because Russia's another nation? That's another people. They wouldn't impose penalties upon Germany because Germany is another country, brother. But they dare to impose penalty upon the sons and daughters of God. They dare to impose penalties upon the church, which is another nation, which is from another world. And someday in the supreme courts of God, they'll stand there before the great white throne of judgment, and the great judge of all ages will draw them into the judgment and pass that eternal sentence upon them that have violated the principles of the great judge. Hallelujah. Glory to God, I'm not of this world. I'm of another world. I'm an ambassador for Christ that's sent from heaven to tell you about Jesus. Hallelujah. We are not of this world. We are of another world. So then we come here to tell you about Jesus. Hallelujah. You understand what I'm saying? Adam and Eve listened to the wrong voice. That voice came close to them. They heard a voice say, Eve heard that voice and said, Eve, why don't you eat of this tree over here? But Eve spoke back and said, another voice said, I was not to eat of it. But this voice, very persistent, very persuasive, said, why not eat of it? The fruit is good. Why not eat of it? Said, but that other voice said to me, thou shalt not eat of this tree. For in the day that thou partakest of this tree, thou shalt surely die. And then the other voice, very persistent, very persuasive, said, but listen to me. That voice that spoke to you, that voice didn't tell you the truth. The devil said, ye shall not surely die. Said, that tree's good for fruit. And that other voice that spoke to you, he's just trying to make a prisoner out of you. Just trying to dominate over you. Trying to subdue you. Said, because that voice knows the day that you eat of this tree, that you'll become as gods, knowing good and evil. You'll become his gods. Isn't that right? Didn't he tell them the truth? Partially, yes, he did. Yes, he did. Have you know that the devil quotes the scripture? Satan stood and quoted the scripture to Jesus verbatim. He stood right there and said, thus it is written that he will give his angels charge concerning thee. But his motive was wrong. His intents was wrong. The thing that he was trying to do was wrong. He was trying to use those scriptures for personal motives, to get control of the Son of God, to take control of the world and the system of the world. Isn't that right? See, the devil will send a preacher to you. Come on now. I said the devil will send a preacher to you. A lot of times we don't realize that the devil will send a preacher. We think the only way the devil works is in some gay 90s show down the road. In a topless club. We feel like the only way the devil works is in pill bottles and in drink. But oh, let me tell you something. His greatest stronghold is religion. Hallelujah! Glory to God! There's something stronger than him. Praise God, the strongest hold that the devil's got is religion. There's preachers today that transform their minds. Paul said, be ye therefore transformed by the renewing of your minds. They transform their minds. They have the power to transform their minds. And the Bible said they transform themselves into ministers of light. By the renewing of their mind, they transform their minds into ministers of the word. And the word is referred to as light. God said, Paul, turn my people from darkness to light. They transform their minds into words of light as they speak the words of light like Satan did. Is that right? And so they minister words of light. And they quote the scripture just like Satan did to Jesus. And brothers and sisters, the scripture comes forth. And people absolve the scripture. And the devil cunningly ties into knots great religious scholars that spend many years studying the word of God. I want you to know that for many years, I read the word of God. I studied the word of God. I've gotten down on my knees and take Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and never get off of my knees till I read every word of it. But with all of that, praying and crying until I couldn't hardly see, in all of that, I come to find out the devil can still blind you. I come to find out that in all the words you can learn, you can memorize it, you can quote it by passages. But brother, if you don't get the revelation of the word of God, you're still in the darkness today. That's why Paul exhorted them. He said, what you need, church, is the revelation of Christ. He said, pray that God will grant unto you the spirit of revelation. You may belong to a church, that's fine. If it's the right kind of church, right kind of elders, right kind of deacons, right kind of preacher, that's good. But Paul said, pray that God will grant unto you the spirit of revelation. What you need is the spirit of revelation. What we need to get a hold of is the spirit of revelation. That word needs to be unveiled. We need to see the dimensional depths of that word. Hallelujah. I want you to notice this for just a minute or two tonight now. Just for a few minutes. What happened in the garden? Here Adam and Eve listening to the voice. All of a sudden the resistance was broke down. You know what? Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, I think you're trying to brainwash me. I really am. Some of you's got dirty brains and it needs to be washed by the washing of the word. That's what I'd like to do, is wash your dirty brain. Amen. God washed mine for me. Hallelujah. But I don't want to wash it and take control over you as lords of God's heritage. But I want to indoctrinate you with the truth, beloved friend. So there stood Adam, there stood Eve, and finally the persistence, finally the aggravation, finally the pressure got so great until Eve broke down. You know, that's the way the devil does you. He puts you under pressure. Day after day, that thing will pound at you and pound at you and pound at you and pound at you. From the time that David took a look at Bathsheba at a time that he ought not to have looked at her, the thing pounded at him and pounded at him until it broke his resistance down. He lost all of his moral abilities and sinned against God. That thing will hound at you, and it began to hound at Eve, began to beat on Eve, and all of a sudden Eve began to break down. She began to break down, and the serpent said, look at that beautiful fruit. It's good for food. Oh, she said, but I got plenty of fruit over here. Said, but you've never tasted this. You've never tasted this. Hallelujah. There's plenty of fruit for me, she said. But you've never tasted this fruit. You've never tasted this. And that got her curious. That got her wondering. That got her desiring. And finally, she couldn't rest. She just had to get a taste of that fruit. And the very minute that she ate of that fruit, something began to happen. Now, I want you to notice this. The Bible teaches that the man is the head of the family. Isn't that right? Paul said, behold, I show you a mystery. And he spoke of a man and a woman being one. Is that right? That is the woman, the body of the church, and the man, Jesus Christ. The head, just one body. Is that right? Adam being the head of the body, I want you to notice this. That when Eve sinned, God did not apply the judgment. When Eve sinned, God did not bring the charge. When Eve sinned, God did not bring the penalty. Isn't that right? I want you to listen now. But the very minute that she got back to Adam and Adam dug his teeth into that apple or whatever you want to call it, that very minute God came on the scene. And God said their eyes were open and they knew that they were naked.
the very minute that it happened. God didn't bother Eve. But when she took it over to Adam, and she persuaded Adam, she had developed the mind of the devil. And that old spirit of the devil began to aggravate Adam. And I'm sure that Adam must have refused it. He must have said, no, Eve. God said, no. You've done a horrible thing. But she kept on. She said, well, it's good for me. There's nothing wrong with it. Why, look at me, Adam. You don't see anything happen to me. See, she was truthful. But yet it was the devil lying again. See, nothing had happened. It was true that nothing had happened. Because, you know, a snake can bite you on the arm, but you got to give it time to hit the heart. Isn't that right? Nothing had took place. But there she stood. She said, wow, there's nothing happened to me. Look at me. I'm sure she must have said that. And finally she persuaded Adam. And Adam reached over and Adam took a bite of it. And the very minute he did, all of a sudden everything began to change. Adam felt strange. Then all of a sudden Eve began to feel strange. And they began to feel under condemnation. And they began to feel insecure. They began to feel afraid. They began to feel cut off. They felt like they'd been separated from a security and a joy and a rest and a peace. They didn't know what had happened, but they were afraid. About that time, there came another voice. There was a voice in the garden, and the voice said, Adam, Adam, where art thou, Adam? That voice began to call out, where art thou, Adam? Where art thou? And Adam said, we were afraid. Fear had got in. Now look, folks, where did that spirit come from? The Bible said God has not given us the spirit of fear. God didn't give it to Adam. He wasn't created with it. Where did he come from? It had to come from the devil. And immediately Adam was afraid. He'd never been afraid before. He didn't even know what fear was. Neither did Eve know. But here he was, he had a different understanding. See, he had a different understanding. Why didn't he know what the word fear was? But all of a sudden he understood things he never understood before. Said it's good for fruit to make one wise. To make one wise, isn't that right? And so then he became wise. And he said, I was afraid. Why are you afraid, Adam? I was afraid because I found myself naked. Now listen to this. And he said, who told thee that thou wast naked? Come on now. Come on now. Something had took place, folks. Something had took place. I want to show you something here. Something had took place. Don't you know that Adam had beheld his wife while she was disrobed? Ever since God had created her, he had looked upon her. But she was never naked. Eve had looked upon him, but he was never naked. Isn't that right? Why didn't Adam say she was naked before? Something had took place. What was it? He had never seen her like that before. What is it? Paul said, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. See, the revelation of Jesus Christ is hid from you. You've never seen it before. The Bible said, and the wicked shall not see when good cometh. But pray that God will enlighten your eyes of understanding, that you might be able to comprehend the heights, the depths, and the width. Learning all your life in schools and colleges. Learning all your life, trying to understand all of your life in churches. Ever learning, never able to come to the truth, but ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Is that right? God said, Adam, who told thee that thou wast naked? And Adam, he said, Adam, hast thou eaten of that tree that I told thee that thou shouldst not eat of? Have you been eaten of this tree? Adam immediately didn't know what to do. He was still afraid. He said, oh God, said that woman. That woman you gave me, said, she brought it to me and I did eat of it. And then he turned to the woman and said, did you eat of that tree? And she was afraid. And she said, oh God, said the serpent beguiled me and I did eat of it. And the Lord turned to him and cursed him, put him on his belly and said, because you've done this evil thing, upon thy belly shall thy go and dust shall thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will place enmity between thy seed and the seed of the woman, and her seed shall bruise thy head, and his seed shall bruise thy heel. Then he turned to the woman and he said, because thou hast disobeyed the voice of the Lord and the thing that thou hast done, he said, thou shalt bring forth children in sorrow all the days of your life. Your reproduction shall be in travail. Then he turned to Adam and he said, because of thy sins, Adam, thou shalt labor in the sweat of thy brow, and ye shall labor in the sweat of the brow, but in the midst of the thorns, in the midst of the briars, in the midst of the things of this world. Isn't that right? Did you know that that's exactly what happened when Jesus came? The only way he could get to that little wife was to go through the thorns. Isn't that right? Isn't that right? Hallelujah! Something was taking place. God said, who told thee that thou wast naked? See, somebody, he said, you've got a knowledge somewhere. You've got another understanding somewhere. There's been another doctrine that's come into this garden. You've let another wind of doctrine come. Something has taken place. What is this that you've heard? Who was it that told you this? Now I want you to see this. Why was they naked? Why was they naked? You know, to be naked, you got to lose your covering. Isn't that right? Why was they naked? Because they had lost their covering. But you say, wait a minute now, Brother Pike. They didn't have any covering to start with. God made them out of the dust. But oh, beloved friend, there's a scripture in the Old Testament where the prophet gets a vision from on high. And he speaks prophetically. And he says, by the voice of the Lord, thou hast covered with a covering, but not the covering that belongs to God. Thou hast the covering, but not my covering. How many of you know that Lucifer was a covering cherub in heaven? How do you understand that? There's another covering, beloved friend, but it's not God's. Have you ever noticed the Catholic nuns cover with a covering? A lot of them shave their heads off. They cover with a covering. Why is that? Because God has given a woman her hair for her covering. Is that right? That woman represents the church, and God has given her hair for her covering because it is a symbol of the glory of God. What had happened to Eve? She had lost her covering. What was her covering? The authority and the rule of her husband. She had went contrary to her husband's word and walked off. The authority, the power, the covering of that word. For the Bible teaches the woman is saved through the husband. That's Bible, brother, sister. See, there was a covering. As long as she had Adam's covering, God didn't charge anything against her. In the Old Testament, the Bible teaches that if a woman did anything wrong, unless the man said it was to be charged against her, it wasn't charged against her. See, the man was her covering. He was her head. And the covering's on the head. That's when the Catholics wear the things they do. Because they know that covering's gone. They wear a veil. Even down in Old Mexico, I go down there to preach. They put a veil over their head because they've never been taught the right covering is God's spirit. There, they had lost their covering. They were uncovered. What was it? Now listen, they were in the presence of the living God. They were covered with the Shekinah glory of God. Brothers and sisters, they didn't have eternal life. Come on now. Somebody said, Brother Pike, they had eternal life. They didn't have eternal life. Adam and Eve didn't have eternal life. They were in the presence of eternal life. They were under the Shekinah covering of God, but they did not have eternal life. If they'd have had eternal life, they'd have never died. They'd have never fell from the presence of God. A man that's got eternal life cannot be lost. That's what eternal life is. It means to never die. But they were in the presence of the Shekinah of God. Hallelujah! In the presence of God. In the presence of the Shekinah glory of Christ. They had a covering. What kind of covering was it? It was that great covering of the Shekinah. Adam and Eve was under the covering of the Shekinah. As long as they remained under the covering of the Shekinah, they could not be lost. They could not die. Nothing could not hurt them. But when that voice began to entice Eve, begin to entice Eve from another level, from a beast level. See, God had given them a covenant, a covering. A covenant or a covering. That is, he said, you can eat of these trees, a water life, a water covering. It does not produce refuse of the body that would cause anything obscene or out of the way. It was a water covering. God had given it to them. They could eat of the fruits of the ground. There was a covenant. That's why Adam and Eve run and put the fig leaves on. They knew that they'd lost that covenant. They knew that they'd lost their covering. And the only thing they could think of was to cover themselves with that covenant of the water, which was the fig leaves. How do you understand what I'm saying? Now listen, I ain't gonna take long. But see, there's three major things in the earth that represent life: water, blood, spirit. Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Body, soul, spirit. Are you listening? Are you listening to me? Fire, heat, light. All the way. Everything is broken down after that threefold manner. Everything. Everything in the earth. And there was that water covenant. God had given it to them. See, he could not make a spiritual covenant with them, could he? How could he? If he'd have made a spiritual covenant with them, they'd have lived forever. He couldn't make that covenant. He had to make a water covenant. That's why the world was overthrown with water. That's why it came down from heaven. There had never been any water on the earth before like then. But God had to cover the earth. Why? Because water is the life of all vegetation. There's three that bear witness in the earth: the water, the blood, the spirit. There are three that bear record in heaven. The Bible said it's the Father, it's the Word, it's the Holy Spirit. These three are one. Those in the earth agree in one. Those in heaven, he said, are one. These three lifelines, a water lifeline. What is a water lifeline? A water lifeline, it is the life of all vegetation. See, Adam and Eve was in a garden. God put them in the east of Eden. He put them in a garden, a beautiful garden, gave them the care of the garden. All they needed was a water covenant to survive, because that's why God made the garden. Hallelujah. So then they had a water covenant. Notice this. When they broke the covenant, you say, Brother Pike, how did they break the covenant? By partaking of the fruit of a tree. Come on now. Now listen. By partaking, I wish we had time tonight to go into the revelation. I just wish we had time. Just barely get to scratch the surface tonight. Hallelujah. Maybe we'll have to get it in a 1, 2, 3 through the revival. In the covenant, they got to the water. They got to the fruit. Now I want to show you something. Maybe you already know, but for those that don't know. See, there was nothing wrong with that fruit. Come on now. Didn't the Bible say it was good for meat? Didn't it say it was one to be desired? Didn't it say that it would make one wise? Didn't it? There was nothing wrong with it. Is that right? There was nothing wrong with that. Where was the wrong? In the voice that she listened to. That's where the wrong was. Faith cometh by the hearing of a sound, a word. Is that right? Now you say, but Brother Pike, it wasn't that. It was that tree. God said, don't eat of that tree. Amen. It wasn't the tree. I can assure you it wasn't the tree. Hallelujah. God had that tree out there just like he did other trees. That tree represented the law. Is that right? By the law comes the knowledge of sin and death. Is that right? Amen. That's why it goes back to Mount Sinai. That's why it goes back to Satan. That's why it goes back to Moses. That's why the Jews had to die as a scapegoat and go out of the presence of God till the Gentiles had their chance. You follow me? There was nothing wrong with the fruit. Now let me show you that there wasn't anything wrong with it. Somebody would say, Brother Pike, there was something wrong with that fruit. And that fruit is what caused Eve to sin. If that's true, then why didn't it cause Adam to sin? Come on now. It was the same fruit. He took a bite, as we say, of the same apple, of the same fruit. It made Eve sin. Why did it make Adam sin? If the fruit was bad, why did it have the same effect on Adam that it did Eve? See, that wasn't what it was. What it was unbelief. God said, thou shalt not. She disbelieved and listened to the voice that said, thou shalt. And the just shall live by faith. And faith is a lifeline. And she severed her lifeline. Like a man way down in the bottom of the sea. And you're running air down there to him. You're pumping air to him. A shark comes along and cuts the lifeline. He dies. Is that right? And the just shall live by faith. That's why Jesus spilt his blood. The life is in the blood, the Bible said. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You say, but Brother Pike, Adam did sin. Well, if he did, the scripture's broken. And the Bible said the scriptures can't be broken. For the Bible very definitely states that Adam was not in the transgression, but Eve. Who said that? Peter didn't say that. Who made that statement? Who was it that made that statement? Other preachers didn't say that. They didn't say that because they didn't know that. But when that great apostle Paul received the revelation, he knew that Adam wasn't in the transgression. He knew that if Adam had been in the transgression, then Jesus Christ would have been guilty of transgression. Because Eve represented the fall of the church, and Adam represented the fall of Christ in the sense that he accepted it on his own to redeem the church. Not because Christ had sinned, but he that knew no sin was made sin, our sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ. That's why he labored among the thorns and took that halo of thorns for you and I. Hallelujah! That's why they made him a serpent and lifted him up in the wilderness. Is that right? Are you listening tonight? Lifted him up in the wilderness as a serpent. There, hang on the tree, a serpent! The wrath of God bruising his head. Who was bruising his head? Who was bruising the head of Jesus? It was the Christ. It was the Christ. It was the Christ. The seed of the woman. You know a woman don't have a seed. But the Bible said it shall come to pass that a woman shall compass a man. Is that right? Right there without the aid of mankind. He was not born to the will of man. He was not born to the flesh. Not born to the inspiration of the flesh. Is that right? Born to the will of God. That's why God called him the Son of God. He was the Son of God. Hallelujah. Every man, when his wife bears him a child, that's his son. When the Holy Ghost, who is God, came down and gave seed to that womb, that was God's son. The only son that he ever had by the flesh. You love Jesus? Hallelujah. The Son of God. The Christ was bruising the head, the seed of the woman. Is that right? The seed of the woman picked up that Jesus, picked up that body, picked up that flesh that knew no sin, but was made sin, made like unto the serpent. And that Christ picked that body up, slowly took it up the hill of Golgotha, and that Christ hanged that body, a lamb body that was made sin. Hang that body at Calvary. And that Christ bruised the head of that serpent. For he was made the serpent that they lifted up in the wilderness. The brazen serpent. And God in all of his wrath smote him. Turned his back on him. Everything became dark. The rocks rent. The heavens turned black. Everything. What was it? The head of the serpent was being bruised. Down with the crushing impacts of the thorns on the head. Is that right? The Christ holding him there. The Christ holding him there. Glory to God, I tell you, that's the way it's got to be with us. We've got to get this inner man in a place to where we can take this old body. The Bible said, be led as sheep to the slaughter and take this old first birth. The fall of Adam, and take it and lay it up there for Christ, and let the Christ on the inside pound the brain of it, the spiritual head of it, until we don't lean to our own understanding anymore, until we don't hear that voice anymore, until there's nothing going on but the Spirit of God. Now, I know the body is the Holy Ghost temple. I know the brain is God's Holy Ghost brain as far as the act of creation. But Paul said, within this flesh, interwoven within my flesh, is that evil that causes the war of stain from fleshly lust, which warreth against my inner man, the soul. Those twins, those Siamese twins, those interwoven twins, warring one with another, warring one with another. One of them's got to die so the life can go to the other head. You follow me? Somebody say, I love Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm going to have to stop right in the middle of the stream because I see some of them can't endure. Many of you listen real good, but some of them can't endure. The water's getting too deep. Don't want to drown nobody. All right. Let's just close out on this first step. Maybe pick up the second step tomorrow and the third step the next time. Let's just try it that way. Well, let me say this to you. There is a covering, beloved friend, that has been taken off of Adam and Eve. There is a covering. It's been taken off of Adam and Eve. And the covenant has been broken. A price must be paid. A price must be paid. Hallelujah. We'll talk about it more tomorrow night. You want to stand with me? Paul said, pray that God will grant unto you the spirit of revelation. The church needs the spirit of revelation. In the Arabian desert for 3.5 years, Paul said, after all my learning, sitting at the feet of Gamaliel, being a great Bible scholar, knowing all those things, I had to count it as waste, count it as dung, throw it aside so that God could give me the revelation. He received the revelation. John on the Isle of Patmos, just a few years after the death of Jesus, just a few years, 60 years past or a little more, over there on the Isle of Patmos, received an inspiration. When he went to write the book, if you'll read the first words of it, it says, the revelation of Jesus Christ that God gave unto him to show unto his servants. Hallelujah. Pray that God will grant unto us the spirit of revelation, that we may come into the revelation of our Lord. Understand what's going on. Understand where we are. Understand who we are. Understand this great, wonderful thing. The Bible said, great is the mystery of godliness. Somebody say, Brother Pike, this little old gospel, just a simple little old gospel. But what's so important is we've got to send our children to college because it takes 12 or 14 years to get an education. But this little old gospel, while they can teach it to us in 15 minutes. Brother, that's where you're wrong. Hallelujah. I've talked to professors after they went to college for 15 and 20 years. And we got into the revelation. And they said, my God, I never heard nothing like this in my life. Said, I'm still teaching college and still don't know nothing like this. Said, my God, this must be God. That's where your little 15 minutes of learning is. Out there, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. I'm talking about the knowledge of Jehovah. Solomon said, keep searching and you will find the knowledge of God. Listen, folks, that little system of education is good enough for them out there. It started with the fall at the tree of knowledge and it's continuing on. Turn them into beatniks and turn them into streakers and turn them into drunkards and turn them into harlots and turn them into money-mad people and everything else. Striptease, come on, into heathens. But you're sons and daughters of God. You're supposed to have a knowledge so superior to that, there's no comparison. You are the sons and daughters of the living God. You're so advanced over their heads, they don't even know what you're talking about. Amen. Hallelujah. You say, you don't know that. I know that because I didn't put it to the test. If I was some young upstart that didn't know what I was talking about, that'd be different. But I didn't put it to the test for many, many years. To all of them, big, low, rich, poor, all of them winds up the same. Hallelujah. All right, let's sing a little chorus together. I love you tonight. You're the greatest people in the world. Even King Solomon, in all of his wisdom, said one time, he prayed to God and he said, oh God, who can speak unto this, thy so great people? Who can speak unto them? Jimmy Carter's not capable of speaking unto you. The greatest orators of the land are not capable of speaking unto you. The greatest Bible scholars in the world are not capable of speaking unto you. I'm speaking spiritually. Those that are the great powers of the world are not capable of speaking unto you. There is not a people in all of the world like the sons and daughters of God that have the mind of the eternal Christ. Somebody would say, Brother, how much do we know? The Bible said you have an unction from the Holy One that you should know all things. I've heard people say, Brother Pike, I believe it's just some things God don't want us to know. I wish you'd tell me what them some things are. My Bible tells me that we have an unction from the Holy One that we should know all things. And the Bible tells me that we should let the mind of Christ be in us. And the mind of Christ knew all things. And Jesus said, all things that my Father's made known unto me, I have made known unto you. Amen. Isn't that right? Hallelujah. Praise God. Somebody said, well, I'll tell you one thing. You don't know when the end's coming. The Bible said we're not children of darkness, but children of light, that day should come upon us unaware. We know when it's nigh at hand. When you see all these things, know that it's near. Said it shall be like a thief in the night to them that are out yonder. But not to us. Not to us. Hallelujah. Can we sing this little chorus, beloved friend? I'm longing for Jesus to come back. I long for Jesus Christ, my friend. He will come and take me to my home up in the sky, up there where angels shout and sing. Can you sing it with me? Oh, I'm longing for Jesus to come back. I long for Jesus Christ, my friend, who will come and take me to my home up in the sky, up there where angels shout and sing. While they're playing on the instruments, I wonder tonight, if we could gather around the altar, friend. My God, what a day, what a day, what a great and mighty day. The coming of Christ. Can you come tonight? Can you come tonight? The Spirit of God is asking you to come tonight. The Bible said the bride says, come. The word of the Lord says, come. Canst thou come tonight? Will you step into the waters? Be made whole while the angel is troubling the waters. Hallelujah.
I long for Jesus
to come back. Oh, he will come and take me to my home up in the sky, up there where angels shout and sing. Hallelujah! I feel the Holy Ghost. I feel God. I feel his presence. Hallelujah. You say, Brother Pike, there ain't no need to get excited. How in the world can you keep from getting excited? Tell me, when you talk about Jesus, when you talk about eternal life, when you talk about living forever, listen, my friend, don't fret yourselves when the world is prospering, when they're getting all the good things, when they're piling up all the money. Amen. Don't fret yourself, for this world is the land of Esau. The land of Esau. Hallelujah. It's the land of Esau. This is their riches. This is their inheritance. But ours is over the hilltops of glory. Hallelujah. God don't want you to get too attached to this world. For he that seeketh to save his life shall lose it. He that seeketh to lose his life for my sake shall save it. Don't get too interested down here. God will meet your needs. God will bless you with a home. God will bless you with food. Having food and raiment, be there with content. You didn't bring nothing into this world. It's for sure that you're not going to take anything out of this world. Hallelujah. You say, Brother Pike, but God has given me plenty. That's good. If God has blessed you, put it in the gospel. If God has blessed you, put it in the gospel. God has blessed me. God has blessed me with over $1 million. But every bit of it's in the gospel. Everything I'm doing is in the gospel. God's still blessing me.
but it's in the gospel. Put it in the gospel. You won't go hungry. You won't go lacking. Start your ministry for Christ. Make your job a ministry for Christ. Be a Christian. Hallelujah. God will bless you. Rake you to ride upon the high places of the earth. Feed you with the heritage of Jacob. The Bible said the blessing of the Lord maketh rich and addeth no sorrow. He will give thee to the sorrows of thine heart. Hallelujah. Don't you love him tonight?